by the end of Saturday, it was, we need to take out the young, we need to take out the lefties.
Yep. I'm having a hard time hitting 5-foot putts.
Did I see that you hit a ball so hard you broke a driver head?
That is correct. It may be the only ball I squared up all day.
What's your handicap?
Well, we don't have to talk about that right now.
I was a member at a private course like the last 2 years, but I've never been as like into golf. Was that a humble brag guy?
That was such a humble brag.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Lefties Lounge podcast. It has been a few months. I mean, it's been a long time, guys. Great to see your faces. Great to be back. And I don't even know how to do these anymore. So I'm just going to kick it right to you, Krafik. How you been, dude? Hair's looking good. Frankie, you look handsome as ever. You look a lot more distinguished than the last time I saw you for some reason. But Krafik, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. It's nice to dust off these microphones, see if they still work.
Yeah,
it's been a while. Not a lot of golf in this part of the country up here, we'll call it. Yeah. But this past weekend was the most golf I've watched or consumed in a really long time. And man, dude, the WMPO, is that now what it's being called?
That's what it's now called. Yeah.
Sucked me in big time. So
definitely going to get into that. That was quite the spectacle, really. I mean, that was a lot of things happened. I can't wait to get into that stuff. But yeah, we just, maybe we should just, I don't know if we should apologize to people for just keeping everybody in the dark, but I mean, I don't think we owe anybody an apology. We got real busy. Frank, you moved. Krafik, everybody knows you're up in the up there, up north.
The great north.
Doing your thing. I mean, goddamn Wyoming, right, dude?
Oh no, that fell through. Surprisingly enough, the East Coast was getting better snow than the West Coast. It snowed out west. We were supposed to take a trip out to Wyoming to snowmobile. We were going to drive out there, which is what, 35, 36 hours. And thankfully we had boots on the ground there and got a report that one of the guys who we were renting a cabin with he stays out there for like a month or two. And he's like, yeah, I'm coming back home. The snow's just no good. So
wow.
We lucked out though. We got a big storm this past weekend. So
that's great. But yeah, long story short, we needed this break too. I think this is a nice break for everybody. It was nice not to really have the obligation of doing the podcast and all this stuff, but I'm not going to lie to you. This past weekend really has got me going, and not just from the WM Phoenix Open that it's now being called. I'm probably going to call it the Waste Management five times before this ends. But I got to play golf too. So like the itch is strong right now.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, let's say hi to Frank first. We haven't even heard from you, Frank. How the hell are you?
Staying quiet over here. I'm just observing. I'm good, man. Yeah. I had to find my mic. I moved for a second time in 5 months. So I was 5 minutes before this started, I was searching for my mic. but yeah, all good, man. I got to watch a little bit this weekend, but yeah, I have not paid attention to golf at all. Haven't swung a club probably like a real swing of a club probably since the day you and I played like 4 months ago. That was in September.
That was before the move, right?
I think it was before the official move. But I was like going back and forth at that point. So it's been a while. So I'm interested to see where my game's at. Probably not great. But yeah, Masters is right around the corner, so we better shape up.
Dude, it's like it's something like 50 something days. I was counting today. It's creeping up on us for real.
Yeah, 48 till Thursday.
Yeah, we are
the Thursday.
I mean, if you think about it, we're like a quarter of the way through like the actual PGA Tour season too. Like,
yeah, I have an issue with that. That's going to be my third storyline. That's dumb.
Ooh, I like it. So, yeah, we're going to do the way this is. We have a lot to catch up on basically, and we're not going to be able to do it all. We haven't done a podcast since I think Thanksgiving, right? Was the last time we were all together. And then I think I did one with Coach Pete. So it was right before the PNC or something like that. So we have a lot to catch up on. So we are going to do a little recap of the WMPO, just cause it was the most relevant. And then we each kind of have like three storylines, that have already happened, or we're kind of looking into the future to see what the season is going to bring. We're going to try and compile that in a short amount of time so that, I mean, we could probably talk for 4 hours, maybe longer. But that's probably not going to work out. So yeah, where do you want to
wait? So Frank has given his golf update. I'll give mine. I haven't swung a club since the last, since we played Fairview.
Yeah. Okay.
So now,
since you're 71,
since I'd have forgot if anybody forgets.
you sure you just like retired? You're done after that? Is that?
Is it confirmed you are actually going to play golf again?
No, it's not confirmed. Actually, it's 100% not confirmed. I have told that story now 3 or 4 times, the 71 story, and every time I've like gone back and looked at the scorecard, but. And it still gets me pretty jacked up. Dude,
I think about it sometimes too. And like, I think the best part, like you shoot a 71 and then you're going to probably the first time you play like a real round of golf is going to be the Masters. And I mean, what's your goal going to be? Is it going to be like,
I already told you, break 100.
Yeah. I was going to say, you shoot like an 88 and a difference of 70. Like, it's not going to be,
I know, right?
Yeah. So disappointed after that.
I can't even think about it. I'm still living so hard in the past. I can't even think about it. I think that's why I'm not picking up a club either.
Yeah. I could imagine it would be hard to do.
So, we've given our golf update.
Yeah. That was quick enough.
You kind of teased yours. Where are you at?
So yeah, I didn't do a lot. I didn't do a lot until late, except for putting, the sick putter is getting pretty dialed in, man, which is nice. Been trying. In February, I was trying to do 25 putts a day like I did, but that was a hard no. I think on the second day I stopped. But anytime I'm down here, I've been putting.
You made it 2 days?
I made it 1 day. I made it 1 day and then I just didn't do it. After that, it was like skipping your first college class. You're just like, all right, yeah, nobody's going to get mad at me if I don't putt. So, but I'm down here a decent amount, just doing putts, and really it's not even going at the hole. It's just, distance control. So
I think it's so funny, guys, that like this time last year, I just want to like remind everyone where we were at. I don't, maybe it was a little bit later, but like we had like hardcore plans about what we were gonna do, and now now Ronnie can't even make it 2 days putting, and I haven't swung a club in 5 months. Like, it's just, it
definitely,
it's like, it's probably more realistic to actually what happens.
Well, I mean, look at the times too, Frank. It was, I mean, we were getting over.
That's true. Like COVID, like I was doing. Yeah, Kraftic and I were like kind of doing nothing.
Yeah,
and exactly.
I mean, I've been plumbing the whole damn time, but I was.
Yeah, you were grinding too. Yeah, you had some motivation behind it. So
exactly. But I'll tell you what, I'm starting to get motivated because like I said, I played on I swung indoor league the previous week and was just absolutely terrible. I couldn't even get the ball in the air. just very, very difficult. And literally I hadn't swung since November. It was eating at me. I'd text Pete. I'm just like, dude, I don't even know like what I was doing, what was going on. So I thought about it forever. And then it was supposed to be like 55 degrees this past Saturday. And I was going to go to the range no matter what, just to see, I just needed to see a ball flight. I just needed to see a ball go in the air and somewhere where I was aiming. Like I just needed that to happen. And I was talking to Shaw and he was like, I think Pomprog's open. Would you want to go play a quick 9? And I was just like, yeah. So first and foremost, the place was packed. Like
crazy.
We went there at 11:30. We didn't tee off until 12:20. It was ridiculous.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was like I imagine it was the first day it was open, right?
Had to have been. I didn't even really ask, but it had to have been because the snow had just melted. So like knew it was going to be soggy, knew it was going to be like the greens weren't really I mean, the greens, some of the greens you'd step on it and it was just squishing. So like you couldn't really get any reads or anything like putting wise, but I mean, I was just like, you know, lift clean in place the whole way, wherever you are, just find a good patch and just go. And unfortunately I just didn't hit really a good shot until the last hole. I was pulling everything just so hard. Like it was decent contact, but I mean, John, you remember like Shawnee.
Oh yeah.
I just
yeah.
like, it was just right. Yeah, every single
good
time.
Case
like,
of the pulls.
Yeah.
But you were hitting it good.
Decent. Yeah. Like it was a lower ball flight. So I think I was just kind of like hooding everything, you know?
Yeah, that's fixable though.
At least it was like, because I started thinking about stuff and I'm just like, dude, why aren't you trying? Like, obviously I'm thinking about this on the ninth hole. The eighth hole. Maybe I'm like, you got to change something. You're not going to just keep doing the same thing. And it's just, you have to change something. So on the eighth hole, it's the par three, you guys know, longer par three. And I didn't pull it as much as normal. So I was like, oh man. And really it was just an adjustment issue. Like it was my shoulders and where I was aiming the ball. So, hit a better shot on eight, and then nine, I hit definitely the best shot all year. pure ass four iron, right down the dick, and went up there, hit a 54 degree wedge to, I don't know, 20 feet, and made an easy two putt for a par. And I was just like, whoa, I'm back.
Golf's, you know, I was back.
Texting Shelby, be like, hey, what do you think about
like play
around again? Like, just found it on nine. You think I could go around again? And I was lucky to get nine holes. So I was glad to end on a good note, but the itch is seriously back. I can tell you that right now. I've putt.
It's all it takes
since I got back, and I had a bucket of balls in the garage that I've been hitting off the snow, because that Sunday morning, I mean, I literally golfed Saturday, let the dog out at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and there was an inch of snow on the goddamn
oh, that's right.
It's been freaking colder than hell up here too. So
I think it's supposed to warm up this end of this week, which is good. Yeah. And hopefully that's
the end. I've been looking. I've
end
been
of looking. The winter.
Yeah.
What was the clientele at Pomperog? Like, was it super young? I just can't believe it was that packed. Like,
so it was Pomperog
of all places. And like, granted, it's probably the only place open in the middle of winter, but still,
it was an array of people. Like, yeah. it was just like guys that haven't seen each other in a long time, just seeing each other for the first time all winter. Like,
the vibes were high.
Like, the vibe was
that's hilarious. Electric.
There was a group of kids. I guess they're in college. Apparently they were all sticks. They tried to go off as a sixum. So like the energy was like for real. there were old men in jeans. Yes. There were people bundled up. There were people in shorts. There was me and Shaw, you know, T-Bird from Candlewood.
Oh yeah.
He showed up as a single and joined me and Shaw.
Wow.
It was, I'm telling you, it was nuts. Like people just needed to see the ball in the air. It was wild.
Golf is buzzing. It really is. Right.
It really is buzzing. so yeah, that's pretty much it for my golf though. Cause I was pretty dormant before that whole stint, like, but I have indoor too, which is nice. I think indoor is going to get us through this end of February, early March.
You're in what, week two of that?
I think me and Hammy are late because we only have one match in. I think everybody else has like three, but there's, I think we got to play six matches. There's seven people in our flight, so.
Can we just talk about that real quick? The text that we got this weekend in our group chat from Mr. Hamilton.
Oh, God, yeah. Why don't you explain? And I'll elaborate.
No, I mean, we, for those of you who don't know, Hammy, part of the Masters group.
Rules official.
The rules official. What's the name of that club? His dad's a member at Ridgewood and Danbury, and then
Delray Dunes.
Delray Dunes.
Yeah.
So this is, I think they normally do. They always have like a member guest this time of year, right? Isn't he always, does he go, so always, yeah, go down there and play?
Apparently this Delray Dunes, there's a guy named Bob Murphy, who is a past PGA Tour player. I believe he's still kicking on the PGA Tour, the Champions Tour. And 50 years ago, they started this member guest. And Bob Murphy was one of the first members at Delray Dunes and has been a member ever since. So they had like this big thing. It was the 50th anniversary of this tournament, and they're actually naming the member guest the Murph after Bob Murphy.
And it was a surprise.
There was a huge surprise. Freaking Jack, the bear, the golden bear, Nicholas, was at this place, and Hammy sends us a picture. Doofy ass Hammy and his dad are like, hey. And Jack Nicklaus is right between them.
It's a Hamilton sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah.
So an old boy Jack in the middle.
Yeah. You could tell they both had about 15 vodka cranberries in them already. So right before bet, like I'm thinking about this, I'm like, holy shit, like this idiot just met Jack Nicklaus. Like that's the craziest thing. And I'm starting to think like, what would I say to Jack? Like you have literally 15 second interaction, right? And I guess there's a funny story about that because I guess Barbara was taking a picture of the old boys.
Yes.
I'll get to that. But like, I'm thinking, what the hell do you say to Jack Nicklaus? So of course, like it's late at night and I'm sitting there. I'm like, God damn, A, I'm so jealous that he's down there playing. B, he just met arguably the greatest golfer to ever live. Like, and I text him, I'm like, so what'd you say? And then it was like the most, the cookie cutter freaking, he said something along the lines of,
appreciate your work.
Thank you. Thank you for all you did in golf.
Oh my God. Can you sign my rules book?
Yeah.
Maybe this is just me, and I don't. You guys are probably gonna hate this take. If I met Jack Nicklaus, I don't think I would be as like starstruck as a lot of different. Like if I met Tiger, I would be absolutely starstruck. If I met Jack, because he's like a very nondescript old guy, like I'd just be like, "Hey Jack," like I don't know if I would. Be like,
yeah, no, you'd yeah. have to call him Mr. Nicklaus. You'd have to.
Yeah, probably. Right? Yes.
You'd have to.
But I don't think I'd be like, oh my God, like Jack Nicklaus is over there. I think I'd just be like, yo, look, it's Jack Nicklaus. Yeah, I think it's because like he didn't,
we don't have like memory of him.
Right.
Like,
I didn't see him play. He's also like my size, you know, like there's just like,
right. He's just an old man. Yeah,
exactly. That's my point. Like,
yeah. I see what you're saying.
Whereas if you like run into like LeBron James, you're like, holy shit, that's LeBron James. You know what I mean? Right. Like,
yeah. Right. Like we saw him come up and like, dude, yeah, I guess it would be different for different people, but I don't know. It would be
really cool. No, don't get me wrong. No, I'd be jacked up too. I just wouldn't have that. Like, I don't think I'd have that overwhelming feeling of like, wow.
Right.
I don't know what to say. I'm going to say what Hammy said.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know what I'd say. But let me tell that story quick. I guess he's taking the pictures and Terry or Brian were just holding on to Jack basically. And he said that Barb took like a bunch of pictures and they just kept staying there. Like just frozen basically. And then Jack just says, okay, Barb.
Okay, Barb.
Like, okay, that's enough, sweetheart. We gotta go.
Oh my God.
I started dying when I heard that. Cause I could that's just see awesome. Those knuckleheads like not wanting the moment to end. And just like,
right.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was, and they won their flight too, which is pretty wild.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Again.
So they participated. They had a big dog shootout, right? That pool place does, right? That's the spot.
And apparently Ham Dog did the same thing as last year.
Oh no.
Piped a drive and then skull fucked one over 18.
Oh my God. Oh, damn. That's great.
Yep. I was dying.
Oh, that is awesome.
All right. So that was, that's some pretty big news for that. Let's get into the waste management. That was pretty electric.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I haven't followed much at all. And I mean, to be honest, the the 16th was like kind of what got me into even like turning it on. Just happened to be, I was like on the couch one of those days and I was like, you know what, maybe we're going to throw some golf on today. And then I kind of remembered what was going on and I happened to throw it on Saturday about an hour before the first hole in one. Who hit the first one? The name
was Sam Ryder.
Oh, Ryder. Yeah, Ryder. Right.
Yeah. Great name.
But it was
slamming Sam Ryder.
The scene though, dude, was just like,
That was the most incredible thing. Cause
it was captivating.
I wasn't watching, but you text me and said, holy crap, ace. And I turned it right on. And I mean, it was like maybe 30 seconds, a minute after you text me. And the 16th green was just Coors Light
covered.
It was just Coors Light.
So do you guys think like, okay, so the ace, both aces were awesome. Who was the second ace?
Carlos Ortiz.
Yeah.
Jordan Spieth's younger Mexican brother.
Seriously.
Yeah. So those are awesome. Do you think it's a little overboard? Like, cause the fans, like I'm all about it, but they threw beer cans like on the course like multiple times, even if someone just like hit a putt.
Yeah,
it's a little
they
much,
were doing
it right.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. I feel like it went from like, you know, like let's celebrate, like 16 is crazy, it's awesome, and every year we see like, I don't know, just great fandom and it's like the one time in golf that you can see that. But this year it just like went to a whole different level and like I don't know why that is. Maybe people are just like ready to explode and this is what it took, but like every time someone hit a putt or every time like JT chipped in, which was sick, and they went nuts. Yeah. And obviously the Harry Higgs and Joel Domain hitting, you know, like that whole scene too, like I don't know, it was a little much for me. I loved it, but if they do that again next year, I think it's like, I don't know, it's a little too much for me.
It was it could, now correct me if I'm wrong, but that didn't happen last year, right? Like the beer scene, that was the first year that the beers have been thrown on like that. No,
that's the first time I've seen it. Yeah,
I feel like that's the first time I've
that's
seen
what I mean. Like,
well, it's
never
the first time
before,
because the last time there was an ace, that it was
okay. That's what, so that's
it
what
was
I,
2015
yeah.
or something. The last
right,
ace
was. It was like 7 or 8 years. That's what I was kind of getting at. Was
so they might have, but I don't think so. I don't think in that capacity. And like to your point, Frank, like to do it in chip-ins and like all that stuff, you kind of gotta like. You got to hone it in and
it ruins the, it aces, ruins the great stuff. Yeah. That's
for
what
aces,
I mean,
like. That's what I'm saying. Like it takes away from that. Like it's, and honestly, we should talk to Jordan Yanni from F3 because he was there on Sunday for Ortiz's. And I don't know if you guys saw on Instagram, he had a video up and you just see a beer just humming past like the camera.
Yeah, it's certainly sort of dangerous that, too.
It splashes a lady and she turns around and just goes, knock it off. So I'm like, if you know, there's gotta be like some sort of like regulation or something. I can see it for aces, but even,
well,
like,
here's even the thing I'm getting at is that eventually it ruins it. It's one of those things that ruins it for everybody. Like eventually they're not gonna allow things to happen, which it's like the greatest scene in golf for a reason. Don't fucking ruin it, people.
Right.
You know,
and that's what I'm saying. Like Sam Ryder, you can't duplicate.
Like, that was awesome. That was such a great moment, but
that's what I'm saying. Like you get chills and it's like, holy crap, that just happened. Like that is you got freaking, how many people are around there? 30,000-40,000 people or something like that.
Yeah.
And just on the 16th hole, like for that to happen, even Carlos Ortiz's was kind of like, downplayed a little bit because it already happened,
right? And even
I'm saying,
and even before,
and honestly,
that, they were throwing.
His was even a harder shot. It was 175 yards. Or
oh yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
You know,
and who knows? I didn't watch the whole thing, but like a half hour before, they could have done the same celebration for someone hitting a putt. You know, like so,
right, exactly. The whole Harry Higgs and
yeah,
Joel Damon,
which was hilarious, and I love it. I think it's like, I don't know, golf needs those guys, but. So I will celebrate that whole thing. I don't know. Yeah. Just every guy who hits something and let's throw beers. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like the old man in the room these days. I don't know.
No, here's the thing. So we'll get into the Harry Higgs and Joel Damon thing. If that happened on Thursday, that would be fine with me, I think.
That was on a freaking Sunday with guys playing. Yeah, they weren't in contention, but like you have like it's legit golf. It's still a golf tournament. So like there has to be some sort of line, I think, right?
Yeah, I just they kind of said it on, I guess, Joel said something on Twitter and then they just backed it up. I have no issue with it because it's literally the one time the entire year they can do anything that's like remotely using their personality and they're not getting in trouble for it. Who knows? Maybe they did get in trouble for it. I wouldn't be surprised if
I wouldn't either.
Like if they got fined or something stupid. So I don't hate it. I get what you're saying. Like do it on a Thursday, but they were matched up together. Like they're the perfect guys matched up to do it.
Right.
And the fact that they're not in contention, like who the hell cares? That's kind of like,
right. I don't know how I feel about it. I loved it. And in the same breath, I was like, man,
I did. It was a little much for sure. Yeah. Like you're a little try too hard guy.
I mean,
like
Joel didn't even make the button. He's got his shirt off.
Exactly. But you laughing.
Well, that was, and that was, we talk a lot about the pip. It was a retweets thing. It was if he gets X number of like retweets, he's going to helicopter his shirt on the green or something.
Yeah. So but really,
here's the question. Would you guys want to like, you have any interest in going there?
Oh, 100%.
One time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to experience
that
one time.
That scene Saturday is
crazy.
Yeah, there's just nothing like it. I couldn't believe.
Oh my god.
That's the other thing. My I give this year, I think this was just a perfect storm year cuz I think that with just everything that's going on, I think we see this actually in across, you know, all the sports is kind of just crazy shit happening with fans and in stands and stuff. And this was just a classic. This, you know, the hole in one hadn't happened in 7 to 8 years or whatever it was. It happens. And then like, they essentially like, you know, it was like telling a bunch of idiots like, oh, it's okay to do this. And they just took like such, they took such advantage of it where, you know, what they were doing it for putts and chips and chip ins. It's like,
yeah,
that ruined it. But I just chalk it up to like this year being, I think if it happens, I would hope next year it only happens if the, you know, if somebody makes a hole in one, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, hopefully they learned that from this year. But I don't know.
I do the thing of just like in the crowd, like people spraying beer everywhere, like that look on TV is awesome. Like, so
it really is.
Whatever, you know, drown yourself in beer, whatever, do whatever the hell you want. I'm all about that. But yeah, exactly.
Cause that's the thing.
I think you're right though. I think it's this year is just like very,
it was a perfect storm.
Yeah.
And it was it was the hardest they've really leaned into it and it delivered from a, like you said, just a spectacle standpoint. And honestly, just the buzz on Twitter, like the people who were talking about golf and who were sharing that were like people who you would never think would be, you know, in the golf conversation.
Yeah. It seems like PGA Tour just really bought into the whole thing and just like,
right.
Okay, this is it. Like, I mean, and honestly, you can't replicate another tournament like this.
No, you can't even try. Like you can't, like even if you wanted to, you couldn't do it. It just has a reputation of it. It's been developed over the years now as like a boys trip, you know, and it's just, it is what it is. And you can't
waste it open.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
you know, what's awesome too, is that and this is going to be foreshadowing one of my storylines, but the Netflix documentary was there and the footage and like I can't wait to see the access they had to that place. Because
who is Sam Ryder on the list?
Oh my god,
probably
not. He probably is now. They probably had to add him late as an asterisk because they're like, we have so much Sam Ryder content. Yeah. We never thought this was gonna happen.
Yeah, that's so true though.
But so I can't wait to see what comes out of that.
Yeah, it's gonna be amazing. But what about Scheffler, dude? I mean, he's he did it.
I got lost in the whole storyline that he won.
Yeah, I didn't even like it. You know, golf was such an added bonus this weekend. It felt like I really wasn't even turning it on to like see the golf. It wasn't like, but the field was solid. Like the field ended up being really good. And
Cantlay.
I mean, the Brooks, finishing Sunday.
Shoffley, they were all up there. It was pretty wild.
And then the Sahith, like that story itself, dude he was buzzing. Yeah. That dude was crazy.
How good was that storyline?
Yeah. Like,
for him to be so emotional for not making that putt and not getting into that freaking playoff, like he was so upset. But that boy, whew,
he can move it, man.
He can sling the ball. I mean,
he's fun, but like,
who would have ever thought that like we would be talking about? I'm going to be completely honest. I didn't even know who Sahith Tagala was before. Yeah,
me either. I had no idea.
Like, no clue. Had no clue.
I'd say 99% of
he's
golf.
That's what I'm saying. Right. And yeah, how old is he?
20? He's a 24-year-old rookie. Yeah. I think he was a sponsor exemption.
Yeah, okay. He was. Yeah.
And I'm sure he's playing. He is playing next week. I know
which
that.
Which I believe is the same age as Scheffler. Is he?
Scheffler's 24 too.
Is he 24 as well? Which is kind of crazy because that was Scheffler's first win, right?
Right. Yep.
Wow, that was Scheffler's first win.
I think. Yeah.
He was rookie of the year, in 2020, I believe.
Right. I think it was. Wow. Yeah.
I think it was 2000 because he was like Corn Ferry Player of the Year in 2000.
Maybe it's because because of the Ryder Cup and stuff. Think he's won already on tour, but
well, and his majors last year. Remember, he was fighting.
That's
2 years.
Yeah,
remember when him and Wolf and freaking Bryson were all battling at the U.S. Open and like the other, and I believe it was at the PGA he was up there. But he's just a stud. Yeah, PGA, that's why he
was T4.
Yeah, that's why he has. That's why he made the Ryder Cup.
The captain's
pick, and that's the reason, because he can play in positions like that. And then I don't know if you forgot this too, but he beat the world number one.
I remember that.
A landslide.
Yeah.
He absolutely crushed him. So
he's a killer, man. He's a killer on the course.
He really is. And he also killed a killer. Like Patrick Cantlay. It was unbelievable. And like I didn't even think of him as I'm watching the leaderboard because I'm in that freaking stupid ass pick'em, the one and done thing. So I had Shoffley, so I was rooting for Shoffley. But didn't really look past Shoffley, so didn't see Scheffler up there. I knew he was like one of the favorites, but then out of nowhere he just freaking goes low on a Sunday, man. It was wild.
How about the timing of that, though? Literally, dude, the tournament ended in a tie as the Super Bowl was kicking off. It was the because I think they played multiple holes. No,
they played three.
They played three. Oh wow, they played three playoff holes. Holy cow!
Probably with TV and all the timeouts, the commercials and shit. It's probably another hour, right? I didn't.
Did anyone see it? We know nobody there saw it. They were all blacked out.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting to see. It'd be interesting to see the ratings that last hour.
How Scheffler like won. I don't even know if it was close, but
that's they both missed putts to win it on
the 18. Same putt.
Yeah,
right, same on 18.
Putt.
Yeah,
and then Scheffler actually hit a decently long putt, I think, to win it. So
either way, good for him.
Yeah,
and. Yeah, so Sahith Tagala, that's amazing. All right, so let's get into some storylines. Which one of you want to start it up? Frank?
Me? Sure. I don't
we don't have to do it. We could just cut it right here if you guys want to.
No, I think like one of the biggest storylines, and this is just obvious, and it's probably like on all three of ours list, or at least to talk about, is the LIV Golf Saudi stuff going on. And
God, Frank, speaking my language,
it's picked up even this like the last week. I feel like I've heard a ton about it.
Pretty much the past 2 weeks.
Within the last hour, I've been looking on reports on Twitter. Yeah,
I mean they're hiring executives like left and right from all over the place. PGA Tour and amongst other like teams and organizations and agencies, and like bringing in reputable people. So listen, I have had doubts about this from the very beginning, just because of what I heard, and I think what a lot of people heard, which I don't know if this is true or not. Maybe you guys have more information than I do, that like the PGA Tour wasn't going to allow these guys to come back and play if they went and played in this other league. The thing is, though, and I heard this the other day, and I thought it was kind of a good take. It's like, what, PGA Tour, you're not going to let like, you know, I don't know, Bryson DeChambeau come back and play in a major? Like, what? That's like on you if you don't allow him to play. You're just
the thing about the majors. the thing about the majors is they're not run by the PGA.
PGA Tour, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Masters, they could play. The Open, they could play.
I feel and, like, though.
Well, the open might be sketchy because that's the R. Well, that, I think it's the RNA. So they can kind of do whatever the hell they want. That doesn't have anything to do with the DP Tour or whatever, the new European Tour. So they can play in that. That's what it is. It's DP Tour or something now, whatever the hell that is. Lots changed since we've done a podcast.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then
yeah.
the
but I feel like if well, yeah, and even more to that point, like I think it's a PGA Tour could have some issues on their hands with this a little more than maybe I gave it any sort of run, you know, 6 months ago when it started. I don't know. There's a ton of money involved, which is always like a sketchy, interesting thing. Like, I feel like whenever there's like this much money being thrown around to people, I always feel like it's like doomed to run out at some point. I mean, yeah. And these things like never work. Like these just things historically never work. So like, I don't know why now I'm going to trust something to work. Like if you look at not just golf, all sports, right? Like whenever something tries to compete with the biggest,
remember thing, the XFL?
Yeah. Yeah. Twice. Yeah. Or the AFL, you know, it's just like,
yeah.
These things crash and burn. And if you're relying on like big ticket guys to come play, I feel like it's a reach, but I don't know, man, the amount of money and the talk that's going on, maybe I'm wrong.
My whole thing with it is like, what are they doing this for? Do we know why they're doing this? Like, it's not to make money.
I think it's to make money. I think it's.
Yeah, but how can you spend $135 million on a hope?
Like, I think it's a group of
work.
I think it's a group of dudes with a lot of money that look at the landscape of professional sports and they look at golf and the way it's being run and the way that everything that the PGA Tour has done over the last 10 to 15, 20 years. And they collectively, you know, based on who the group is, think that they can do a better job of running a tour, I think is like part of it too. And that there's just enough opportunity and there's enough, whether they think they have enough backing and money. I mean, dude, it seems like they think their pockets are, I mean, it seems like their pockets are endless. Bryson's getting offered $135 million.
I know, but that's what insane. So what I look at it is if they are in it for money, how do they make the money? It's from the fans, right? We tune in, we go to the events, and sponsors, yes, all that stuff. But why?
I mean, that's the main dollar figures is sponsors.
Okay, but here's my thing: why would Waste Management now jump to this? Like, so apparently they're gonna have what, 6 events this year? I heard,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
literally, they're trying to get something done in June, and the first 4 events are all gonna be played in the States. Which is
so that was my next question is, yeah, I didn't know that's also I was thinking like, where would these be played? Now I think an advantage they may have that like the PGA Tour kind of lacks is like the courses, like I feel like you hear all the time like the courses aren't great on the PGA Tour in terms of like the variance and like where they're all at, a lot of them are at TPCs, like they're just not interesting courses. So if they can get some like interesting, you know, locations on the schedule, maybe that entices people too. Like maybe guys are just sick of playing. I mean, listen, the guys make a lot of money. So you have to think like, am I going to jump ship for something guaranteed, right? Like a Dustin Johnson who makes a ton of money on the tour, like, is he going to jump ship for a huge payday potentially now with, I don't know, maybe it crashing and burning and then being kind of shit out of luck afterwards. I don't know. I think that's also like a question.
It's such a tough question, but like back to the course thing, like I know one of them is one of the Trump courses, which I think is hilarious. Doral. And then there's a couple more, in the Middle East, I believe. I don't know exactly which ones, but I know those two for sure. But it just doesn't make sense to me that like the way the whole thing it's set up, like how many guys do they even have? Like the big names that I've heard that are like almost gonna sign, Bryson, Phil, DJ's been up there. But as far as that, like I haven't really heard.
Yeah, is there a roster list?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, and what does the roster list consist of? You give Bryson DeChambeau $135 million. How much money are you going to give the Joel Damons and like those. Because here's my thing: you're not going to get. There's certain guys that have said that you're just not going to get John Rahm, Jordan Spieth, Rory. I think Xander's on there, Rory.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get the majority of them.
That's what I'm saying. So
it doesn't make sense for them right now, but now it's their job as a new league and a new, you know, whatever tournament to set up to roll this out. Let the roster spots fall as they may in the beginning. It's going to be, it is what it is. It's more going to be like, what type of product are you putting out? What does it look like?
And that's the thing. Like, who is going to want to watch?
Yeah, what's the user experience? What's the broadcast look like? If they can up that, man, like, they're already winning. Because
think about
mostly the PGA Tour broadcast stinks. So
yeah, exactly. Think about it. You just said, who's going to watch it, Ronnie?
I'm going to watch it.
Imagine if Phil and Bryson are in a group, and imagine if they're mic'd up the entire time and the mics are just live.
They're going to have to do better than the match.
Yeah, but
no, I know.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, I think that matched up during competitive round is more interesting to at least the golf fan than maybe the match, just because the match is such it's not a joke.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So, we're not really competing. I think you're the problem. So you know, if it's like Phil and Bryson, I think Phil should do it. Like, I think why not? They're going to throw him $100 million. Like,
oh, it's a no brainer for him.
Why
no brainer
not? For like, Phil. He's
50 and brand wise. Or,
yeah. And it's perfect. Yeah. And it like spreads his brand overseas probably more. I think they should probably go after like the Asian countries and get the best guys that are, you know, I don't know, in South Korea and Japan, and get those guys on a tour. And because I'm sure there are plenty of those guys that like we just don't know about. Right. And
oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
And even if it's not like as popular in the States, if you can get it popularized somewhere else, like there is, you know, it can be successful that way. I think that's the way they have to do it. I don't think making like big splashes, like if it's one big splash or two big splashes, I don't think it's going to move the needle here, but over time, like you, and I think graphic to your what you're saying before is like right now it may the business model may not be like let's make money year one. It's most definitely probably not. So I think if they're thinking about it long term, maybe they're being smart about it. I don't know
how you can think long term though, in because of the XFLs and the AFLs and like all this stuff. And a new league in golf has been talked about for probably the past 10-15 years, and it's just never come to fruition. This is probably the closest that it's ever happened.
Yeah,
my thing is like, how are you going to roster this? Like, to get back to that, like, it makes sense for Phil. He's old, he's not going to win anything. The PGA championship was a complete fluke and he won, yes, whatever. But Bryson, he can go too, because I mean everybody kind of hates him anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, and $135 million is guaranteed. But other than that, like, who you're going to get, you're not going to get the guys in the middle. Like,
I don't know. That's the thing. I think that's their sweet spot. And I think I think it makes a lot of sense too. I think like Morikawa talked about it today. I don't know if you saw, he did like a pretty long interview, and he's essentially saying, you know, I'm one at like, to your point, these guys that are established, they are not going to just jump ship to something that they have no actual physical evidence of, like seeing it. Does it work? How success, does it run? Yeah. Just like seeing the success, which is fine. So what now they have to do is they're looking at that middle tier of golfer, which is like, I mean, I don't know. I think they're banking on, there's such a thirst for golf content personalities. Look at we're talking about Harry Higgs, Joel Damon, Max Homa. I mean, look at this dude now, Sahith now. What if it's a platform for a kid like him? You look at Akshay, you know, Bakhtiar, whatever Akshay, you look at like all these people who now, you know, we see them, they pop up once in a while because of a sponsor exemption, or Callaway does a video with one of the, now they have, there's a platform for all those people kind of stuck in the middle, which there's so much good young talent where now it's like, Matt, maybe you know, you get a camera in front of Akshay and this dude blows up and he becomes, you know, you don't really, I think that's what they're kind of like.
Yeah, banking on. My thing is like the guys in the middle are still making a great living. like your Kevin Kisners, your Harry Higgs, Joel Damon, they all, I mean, Joel Damon won, Harry Higgs, you string a few top tens and you're making a few million dollars in a year. Like, that's a good living, and you're not being called a sellout and doing all this stuff. And like, what would the contracts even look for those middle guys? It's not going to be $135 million. Like, I see Bryson doing that because that's generational money. Like, his kids, yeah. kids, grandpa, yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's all going to be set. Listen, it comes down to the money, right? Like, what are these guys going to be offered? And also, what are the payouts? Like, what are the payout structure look like? If the payout structure is better than the tour, and, you know, using the example you guys use of Joel Damon or Harry Higgs, right? Like,
yeah.
Those guys, I would have to look at like what they've made in their careers, but it's, you know, yes, it's a good living, but they've also kind of grinded for a while too, to get to where they are, where they probably made zero money. So like,
and that's kind of
like,
what I'm,
if they're going to throw $15 million at Joel Damon, like, he might be like, well, I might not make that in the next 3 to 5 years on tour from just golf, right? Like, maybe I can have success there, get a nice sponsor deal. Like, I think there's other factors there that can go into it. And if you're going to throw money at like that at a Joel Damon, like, maybe he's
probably going to take it.
Right.
I thought it's so interesting
though, because like, I think they would target more of like the more struggling golfers, they go back down.
Well, I think like a guy like Sergio is interesting too. Like, him going there, like, would make sense.
And why? But again, another older guy. That,
exactly. You know, yeah.
I thought the whole hope was that it wasn't going to be I thought this is the way that it's shaking out, that it's not going to be you have to pick one or the other. I thought it was you're just going to be able to play in both.
So I don't know. And maybe you're right. I haven't read enough like in the last few days about it, but like that I was going to bring that up. If you can do both, then you're going to see a lot of guys do it, I think.
Right? Well, look at the Saudi tournament.
That's what I mean. Like, you're ridiculous. Gonna, like, why not? Right? Like,
yeah, look at how many people went over there. Freaking shout out to HB3, baby.
if PGA Tour saying like, listen, if you go, you're not allowed to play and you're not allowed back, then you're going to have guys think twice, because if it does crash and burn, you know, like I said before, then you're out of a job, you know, and you're playing, you know, maybe on the European tour or whatever.
I mean, we'll wrap this up pretty quick, but the thing that I want to say is that I'm not a huge fan of how Phil is going about like doing this, because it seems like he's pretty on board with the Saudis, and it seems like he is just running the PGA through the mud right now. Like, saying, you saw that interview with him?
I did not.
Okay, so he did some interview, and he basically was bashing the PGA, calling them like greedy.
Like Charlie Hoffman bashing?
Exactly. Well, you saw Charlie Hoffman doing that whole thing.
Yeah.
Who replied? Bryson DeChambeau and Phil. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, yeah.
That clearly says that they're on a certain side. They're pretty much choosing sides. But the interview before with Phil, he's saying that the PGA Tour has obnoxious greed, and that they're withholding, he said, a ridiculous amount of money. It was like $20 billion worth of video content, like, through everybody, which isn't where do you even come up with that stupid number? Like, he just sounds like an idiot.
Your lawyer.
When he says this. But he's just, you know. He's just dragging them through the mud. And it's like, okay, Phil, listen, you're old. Your career is coming to a close. You've made a shit ton of money off the PGA Tour. I would rather him just say, hey, listen, I'm going to Saudi. They're giving me $100 million. There's no chance I'm going to make that on the PGA Tour Champions. I've won 6 out of the first 6 that I've ever played in the Champions Tour, and I made about $900,000. Like, there's no way that I'm going to be able to compete with that. And everybody be like, okay, Phil, like, maybe we'll tune in. Like, just keep doing you.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of, I'm a lifelong lefty, big, huge Phil Mickelson fan. But honestly, the past 2 weeks, he's been rubbing me the wrong way. And it's, I just don't like what he's doing. And the same thing with Bryson. Like, it's real freaking, what word am I looking for? Guys, help me.
It's real Bryson-ish.
Convenient. It's real convenient that they both pulled out of the Genesis. you know, Bryson's hurt all of a sudden. Phil just isn't playing anymore. Phil said that, what was it, 2 weeks ago or something, or the last tournament that he played in, he said to somebody that that was the last tournament that he was going to play on the PGA Tour. So, like, it's real, but I just don't like how he's going about doing it. So,
breakups are never pretty.
No, it doesn't have to happen like this, though.
No, I know. And I think I think Phil, in the sense of, I would give him the benefit of the doubt of, I'm sure he's had years and years and years, clearly, of bent up frustration with how things have been handled on the PGA Tour and how he's been handled, in a sense. So I think it's probably more of just like,
he's still holding a grudge over Tiger.
Exactly. That's well, what it is. I think a lot of, I know, I think a lot of it's a grudge over a lot of things. And right, I think he's just in a, he does not give a fuck attitude, and it's hilarious to see now. But yeah, I mean, he's probably not doing it the right way, but
he's fun. Probably not, but who knows in the next year or two,
right?
The Saudi league could take off and we could be talking about how great Phil is and what he did for the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody really knows. Yeah.
Or so, be like, oh, remember that one time Phil went to the Saudi League and it crashed and burned and we never saw him again? Like, that could be another.
Yeah. And he bought his own island and we've never seen him again. He's just drinking coffee on an island and nobody even knows if he's
well, we're doing this podcast in 4 years. We're like, yo, remember that Phil Mickelson guy?
Remember that lefty?
Yeah.
Anybody seen him?
Oh,
interesting topic. But there's definitely going to be more on that and I'm excited to see. But what do you got, Krafik? Let's change it up.
Yeah, well, I'll just throw, this one will be a quick one. We've talked about it, but I don't know, actually. I think, the news broke after we went on our little hiatus, but the Netflix series,
the docu-series.
Not Drive to Survive, but there's been some funny, like, pitch putt and Drive to Survive. I saw this past weekend with the Netflix crews being at the WM. God, it's so dumb saying that.
It's the waste management.
And I'm so one, the crew. Oh, I mean, this is a perfect segue, but did you see Bryson's comments on whether or not he was going to be part of the Netflix roster?
No, I didn't. If I remember correctly, he said something along the lines of, like, I want to let other people get in the limelight kind of thing. Like, do you have the quote? Because
let me actually get the exact quote. But
I haven't posted anything on the Instagram thing, and I think I posted something on the story, and I was just like, thanks, Bryson. Like, thank you for not being in the probably one of the coolest things that's going to be put out by the PGA Tour.
Yeah, he's doing his own content.
Not put out by the PGA Tour, it's put out by Netflix. So it's going to be amazing. While you're looking for that, though, I don't know if you guys had listened to it, but first podcast back, and we're already pumping the tires of another podcast, but NLU's podcast, I think a week and a half ago, they interviewed the two guys, the directors of the docuseries. It was really, really cool listen. So,
I've not heard that yet.
Definitely go out and listen to that if you're interested in the docuseries, because I know you guys have watched the full Drive to Survive. It's the same people that did Drive to Survive, the F1 series.
Yeah.
One guy is an avid golfer. The other one did golf and then got out of golf and then came back in. And they're just looking to kill it. And it seems like it's going to be like way better than they even anticipated in the first year. So I'm super excited to see how it happens. Cause I mean, I never watched racing before and any chance I got, I was watching episodes of Drive to Survive. And I mean, I know more F1 drivers now than I ever have.
If it's anything like Drive to Survive, and I don't know, maybe I said this going into watching Drive to Survive too, like, no way I'm going to be interested in this, you know, or
right.
and then you are like, I'm already interested in, obviously, in golf. So like, I think we're going to get some pretty great stuff from the guys. Yeah. Like, I think it's going to open a lot of people's eyes to like what actually is being said during these rounds, like their actual mindsets, their preparation. Like, I just think
just to see what they're actually like.
Yeah, like their personalities are going to come out big time, and you're going to get some guys who you absolutely love, and you're going to, I feel like people are going to change their minds on a lot of guys too. Be like, this guy kind of sucks. Like, he's
exactly, exactly.
Like, I think Brooks is confirmed for it, right?
Yep, Brooks is one.
Yeah, and like he may be. I feel like he's going to be a real big, like, just because I feel like the Brooks, like, I don't know.
Oh,
people are so polarizing on Brooks. Like, it might be even more polarizing, or people might be like, wow, he's a lot different than I thought he was. You know what I mean?
Imagine, like, I just thought of this too. Imagine if DJ actually goes to Saudi and they capture the whole thing in this Netflix thing. Like, how sick would that be? Like, he's in his kitchen, like, crying, like, I can't believe I'm going to leave the PGA Tour. But then he's in a pool. He's swimming in a pool of money or something.
Oh, yo, Ricky's on that list. Nice.
Dude, yeah. Ricky.
Who, Ricky who?
Yo, Ricky, comeback player of the year, Ricky.
Ricky Dickey.
I guarantee.
Ricky Dickey.
Big Dick Rick. I guarantee that he won't be the comeback player of the year.
Yeah, because he's going to be the player of the year.
Oh, also my guarantee, God.
God, Frank. Oh, I haven't done that in a while, but
the list is the list is so good. But another one of the biggest things is just they're getting full major access. So all, the four majors are going to be in this series, which is
sick.
Oh,
I'm super excited about it.
Personalities are great, and then
when's that supposed to drop? Because they're just going to film all this year, and then it'll drop next year.
All through 2020. Yeah.
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 That's what I got out of it.
Yeah.
But like the thing that I'm like, all we see is them show up and they have their predetermined outfits and they do their thing and they're always professional. That's all we ever see as fans. So like for the avid golf fan like us, like I think it's going to be sick, man.
It's going to be cool to see who these dudes are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's one of my big ones. I'm excited for that. What do you got, Ronnie?
I don't know. This is kind of more of like a question, like a storyline for the rest of the year. We've seen so many young guys win already this year. Like, do you think that we even saw it last year where guys aren't going out and winning 5-6 times in a year. Like the year Justin Thomas did it and Jordan Spieth and like before, like all these guys were doing that. With all this young talent, do you guys think that it's just over now? Like we're not going to see people win 4-5 times in a row. Like there's just so many young guys winning is what I'm getting at. Like, let's see here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. My quick like response is no, I don't think you're going to see someone like a Patrick Cantlay win like 6-7 times on tour this year. I think the top 25 in the world are all so good, and they're just going to continue to like move up and down the rankings. One guy will win one week, one guy will win the next. You'll maybe have like someone come out of left field and win a tournament here or there. But no, I think the majors are going to be everyone you think they're going to be. And for what it's worth, I think that's a good thing, not a bad thing. Like having all these guys up there all the time. Like it seems like the majors have kind of, I don't know, they've been great lately.
They've leveled up.
Yeah. Like they've, because of how many guys are good, it just, exactly. I don't know. It makes you,
that's
it
what
makes
I'm saying. These better, guys like, are just fearless. Like
I instead mean, of having one guy dominate all the time, which is fun and was fun with Tiger. But like now it's like, now you have fucking 25 guys who could win any week and they could dominate for like a 2-month period. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But that's what's so cool about kind of where the tour is at right now is that we just had a year where the consensus number one, and I mean like hands down consensus best player in the world was Jon Rahm last year, and he won one time. And didn't even win
player of the year.
Didn't win player of the year, but it was still like kind of question. Like he's the best player in golf. No.
He won a major, and I think he won another time. I think he won two.
Did he win twice? I don't.
Yeah, I know he won.
Had the major?
No, I think he won. Where the hell did he win?
I don't even remember. I blocked.
I don't know. It was somewhere, but
well, he didn't win the Memorial. We know that.
Yeah.
He had the fake COVID win, or the one that didn't
count. Yeah, wasn't that the memorial?
That was the memorial. Yeah. That was. Oh yeah, you're right.
And Cantlay won. Didn't he win that?
I think it's just going to be like, there's so many young dudes. I think we're just going to remember it as these like almost like these like 6 month runs. Like, you know, we just keep seeing everything happen in like runs of like Bryson was hot for a little bit, then Rahm was hot for like
now. DJ was hot when he won.
Yeah,
oh my god, he's amazing. Yeah,
we didn't think he was going to lose.
Yeah,
after he won the Masters,
and then Rahm has been hot. You know, and now it's who's the guy this year that's going to get hot?
Interesting. What's
right.
crazy?
That's the thing. And right now it could be Tom Hoagie.
Well, no, because what's crazy about it is we talk about all these young guys, but look at who keeps kind of sticking their nose in the back in the fire. It's Spieth, the Rorys, these guys that are kind of like...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Even Ricky was playing such a good stretch of golf.
Can we stop talking
about undisputable.
Ricky? Yo, we can't stop talking about... We talked about Spieth forever when he was irrelevant, so we're going to talk about...
Oh, my God.
When?
By the way,
when
I
he was
saw,
making
I don't know,
his
when he
comeback
was, when
and
he
won the Valero Texas Open last
when
year?
When he was
like
95th in the world and no one gave a shit?
I saw him make one...
I'm going to make a statement. I thought about this because I thought a smart-ass comment would come up about Jordan Spieth. I bet Jordan Spieth wins before Ricky Fowler gets back in the top 50 in the world.
Okay, that's not like you, that's so stupid. That's such a dumb bet.
Why is it a dumb bet?
Because Spieth went through the same thing in his career, and now you're just like wise ass comment. No, you just love Spieth, and you're okay talking about Spieth, but not about Fowler. Let's be real.
Because
Ronnie,
Ricky's not because
He's
Ricky
not
is not
right
even
now.
Close to what Jordan Spieth even is.
Yeah, Jordan not Spieth currently,
not ever. He's never even won a major.
Yeah, okay, but just because
he won the Players Championship, that's the best tournament he's ever won.
Yeah,
and what does he have? Six wins?
Yeah, so?
Patrick Cantlay is what? 7 years younger than him and has probably the same amount?
Right, but you're
I'm just saying
you
he's
talk
not
about,
even
real. No, but you talk about Spieth because you like Spieth. That's why you talk about Spieth.
Because he's a generational player, Frank.
Oh, well, let's
let's pump the brakes there.
Are you? Oh, my God. I can't believe we even got. I don't even know how we got here.
Generational.
Said that.
Generational.
Yeah, have you seen his golf swing lately? I saw him make one driver swing. I threw up. I'd never seen a worse professional golf swing in my entire life.
Generational player.
Who else moves the needle like Jordan Spieth?
Everyone.
I mean,
Ricky Fowler.
You guys are out of your mind. You guys are out of your mind.
Ricky Fowler.
You guys are
not wrong in that
mind.
Either, by the way.
No, I did that new swing, whatever new it was a pole shank. It was a rope hook. It was one of the worst professional golf swings I've ever seen in my entire life. And you're right about that new half move he's doing where he's trying horrible. To he's mirroring was, JT.
Yeah.
Oh and, my
and
God.
Ricky. And Ricky.
I saw one tee shot and I was like, if he comes back on, I'm closing my eyes. I cannot see that. I have enough driver struggles as it is. To see a driver swing like that was concerning.
Oh my God. Well, we're going to circle back on this at some point.
Move on.
Not today though. We got to move on. I don't even know if we're going to get through all three of these things.
We're definitely
pick
not.
One more. Yeah. One more quick topic and then go? Or do you want to just end it?
Yeah, I got a
quick one.
All right, cool. We'll do that and then we'll end.
I got mine is like it's Bryson. Bryson is the topic, and I saw a stat the other day that so I don't know if it's much of a storyline, more of like, you know, Bryson can take a hike a little bit. So Bryson pre-bulk versus Bryson post-bulk. Okay. Here's stats.
I saw this.
So average driving distance 302 to 323. So that's significant, right? Total starts 42. Total wins 5 pre-bulk, 3 post-bulk. Top 10 finishes 13 pre-bulk, 17 post-bulk.
Okay.
One major win, obviously, all jacked up. Highest ranking in the world, 5th pre-bulk, 4th post bulk. Average scoring, it's average scoring 69.6 to 69.5.
Wow.
So
really, what did that
is do? It working? Yeah. After all that, are we convinced it's actually something he should be doing? I don't know.
And is he hurt because he actually fell, or is it from
swinging a million miles? Yeah.
I don't know. I saw that graphic you said you saw. I thought it was super interesting. I would have expected a lot different because I feel like maybe it's just because we talk about him constantly and it's because of all the crap he does. But like, I don't know. It doesn't seem, I mean, it's the top 10 finishes is slightly better, but like, other than that, man, he could have won a major and, you know, without.
I think, and who's to, honestly, who's to say that the bulking was the cause of it? Like, you could go and look at his putting
stats.
That's
what I mean. Like,
you know what I'm saying? Like, did that even help him that much, or was it actually just learning how to putt?
So the big thing is pre and post bulk, he's almost a full strokes gained better, strokes gained wise.
Gotcha.
Post bulk, and a majority of that is off the tee. So he's almost, it's like 0.74 of a stroke is all like, so everything he's gained essentially has been like from the tee, which I think what he's picking on is over time that's gonna, so he's almost a stroke better because he's longer off the tee.
Now, right, has that but resulted scoring in the average same... is not right. So, like, right. Scoring average is exactly the same, pretty much. Right. So, like,
so that just means there's playing. More variance. It means that he's probably going lower, but still blowing up, which still is blowing. What I think that passes the eye test too. Is he's still blowing up a lot, but his low is still so low.
Right.
Type style.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw that. Thought it was really, really
very interesting.
Yeah, and physically, does he hold up? I think that's the big thing.
That's another thing too.
Interesting. He's falling all over the
place. But yeah, so. Here's the thing is all it's going to take is one. It's if he has one more bad year where he's the type of personality I think that has been shown is, you know, a year of he puts up similar to not as good numbers. He's just going to get killed. I mean, like that's already a storyline that's coming out. Is it's like, look, he's done all this. And I mean, you look at the numbers and you could kind of take it away from it as like, is it worth it?
Yeah.
So that's going to kill him too, because I mean, obviously, he's such a public perception guy.
Well, very interesting either way. We are let's wrap this thing up. I just wanted to say congratulations to both Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth on having babies, which is completely irrelevant.
Nice
topic, but we'll leave him on the 19th, boys.